what you fear in the night, in the day comes to call anyway. Yeah, yeah. Never, never, never again.
Hey, everybody. Sorry about the late start here. I had to fix some issues with the rollout of the new Mr. Store Familiars, the replacements for the Coffee Pixie and the Cheshire Bitten. Pardon me. And sorry for the quality of my voice and the fact that it will undoubtedly be broken up by many pauses for me to cough, because that's just how it's going to be. Almost over. The sickness with which I was down for so long, but let's see. I guess I might as well jump straight into the questions because I don't have a lot to bullshit about. Not much has been going on. We spent today scrambling to get stuff going. We had a less than a good idea for the demon familiar, and Mr. Skullhead flew in at the last minute and saved the day on his horse in shining armor of a different color, and we looked it in its mouth, and from its mouth it spoke, and each of its teeth was a Mr. Accessory, and it was disgusting. Let's see. Arcone says, how come the potion of temporary greatness has a T after the 8? 8 has a T sound in it already. It should be the potion of temporary GR8-ness. Well, because our minds are full of hobgoblins, and our minds are very little, and inconsistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. He also asks, if I buy temporary tattoos, can I put them on my chest and pretend I have cleavage? Sure. Knock yourself out with your bouncy, bouncy, bouncy breasts. DeCyclub says, big question for you. What the hell is the order the trophies are displayed in? It is random MySQL order. It probably has something to do with the order in which you put... It might be the order in which you get the trophies, or it might be the order in which the ID numbers of the trophies are. But since you have no way of seeing the ID numbers of the trophies, then there's really no way to tell. I don't know. It also does some weird stuff because it'll occasionally reclaim space and put stuff earlier in a table than it would normally, and so you'll get shit in weird order. Like, that sounds good. I'm sure it sounded great to everyone who was just deafened. Let me mute my mic for 1 second and finish that up. Sorry about that. See, this is when it helps to have somebody else to play off of on the radio, but alas, I do not. I need a sidekick or a co-host or some sort of side host. let's see. Dr. Van Mojo says... Oh, no, I was going to say... No, I guess I wasn't. Dr. Van Mojo says, hey, Jack, Monday on the radio you said that the current initiative system is like every other RPG ever, but frankly this isn't true. Many systems have a tiered initiative system with several possible results, notably that winning initiative by a lot results in your ambushing your opponent, thereby getting in a free attack. Why not change the KOL system to reward winning initiative by a lot by a free hit, like the old system, and otherwise proceeding as it currently is? This seems like it would retain the sensibility of the current system while not hosing muscle classes nearly as much. Well... muscle classes will certainly get some attention that will, make this less of a hosing. I gotta say, I like the system the way that it is. I mean, it's one of those things that, had it been like this all along, I don't think anybody would think that it was broken. But since it changed and made things a little bit more difficult for a certain style of play, people are, crying nerf. But think about it like that. I mean, if you started playing now, would you notice anything wrong with it? Would you think, wow, this game is really, sort of screws over muscle class characters in combat if you were playing a muscle class? I mean, I don't feel that you would. I know what you mean with the different initiative systems and the whole, I remember in Final Fantasy III getting the, scissors attack and stuff, but, the initiative system is goofy, and it's possible to get sort of ludicrous initiative advantages by having the right equipment. Not a big deal that you can basically always get the first attack if you equip yourself correctly. Especially outside of hardcore, where you're not actually limited by the stuff that you've found. But, I'm not sure that I like the idea of winning initiative by a lot, causing you to get an additional free attack. Because I feel like with most monsters, you're either winning by a lot or you're losing. It's not like there's some really fine range in which sometimes you get initiative and sometimes you don't. I mean, unaided against a normal monster, then yeah, you know, sometimes you will get a really good roll. I mean, it would have to be something. It couldn't be based on your adjusted initiative if I did that anyway. But I mean, what we're thinking about doing is giving probably Steel Clubbers an extra skill that allows them to do. And I thought about the other thing is I don't remember if I talked about this on the radio or not, but the high end Steel Clubber skill that we have in our list of one high end skill for every class right now. Is going to be the dual wielding. Once we implement the offhand stuff, you'll have the ability to equip weapons in the offhand. And I think what is probably going to happen there is you will do regular damage with your main hand weapon, and then you will have a similar chance to hit, but it will do damage based entirely on the strength of the weapon. You won't get your like muscularity bonus on that damage, because that's sort of a way to make that interesting and make it probably worth doing without making it totally unbalancing and something that we really have to dick with a lot. So I don't know. I mean, I could make it so you, as a muscle class, always get a free attack with your offhand weapon in the beginning or something, or I could make it another skill entirely where you just got, like, you know, some kind of extra head bonk when you win initiative, and it would just do it before you even got that first choice. Oh, I also, for those of you who this had an impact on, and I don't remember, this might not have rolled out until just now when I rolled out the new familiars, but I made it so if you have the auto attack flag on, it will no longer have you auto attack the tower monsters, because that was making people very angry. I mean, just, you know, it was like, once they got there, they were like, oh, shit, I forgot to take off auto-attack, and they hit themselves in the head with their palm. But, you know, there's no reason not to do that, because it's obviously not something that anyone would ever want to do, so I have no problem making it impossible to do. So, I mean, Dr. Van, I appreciate the suggestions, and just know that we are not, we're not done messing with combat, because... you know, I want... my goal with combat is for there to be a variety of equally viable play strategies. I mean, I want it to be such that, you know, a muscle class, a mysticality class, and a moxie class of the same level can all win a fight. The muscle class by just kind of pounding, the mysticality class by expending resources, and the moxie class by playing strategically. And it's just, you know, it's tough to get that balance. I mean, I feel like we kind of had it, like when we rolled Ascension out, we kind of got it to the point where it was viable to win the game in a lot of different ways, to fight in a lot of different ways and get up there. But it, now that everybody has every class's skills, it's getting a little goofy, and there are certain strategies that are significantly easier than other strategies and significantly more effective. So, you know. Let's see. May says, in the post-Ascension world, is there any point to having a level restriction on when you're able to buy a mall store? I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, maybe it could, you know, maybe once you've ascended, it could not have the level requirement anymore. But, I don't know. I mean, I also, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal having it sitting there the way that it is now. I mean, you still have the restrictions on, well, that's one thing. I mean, you have the restrictions on being able to buy a clan or to form a clan. So that's one of the dumbest things I ever did, was make it so it was free to form a clan. Because they just mean so much less to most of the people that have them than they would if you'd actually have to expend some resources. Hey, maybe that'll change. Haha. I mean, all the cool clans already exist and all that stuff. And it doesn't really make any sense that they would just be able to construct you an entire guild hall just instantaneously and for free when even a small glass case costs 100,000 meat. Although there was the explanation that it's obviously made of corrugated cardboard. Hasty Lumbago sent a message, which was pretty funny. Hey, I was listening to your show from like a month ago, and I heard about your olive and bologna taco, because we were running out of food here at the office, and I invented a new kind of taco that was some olives wrapped in a slice of bologna. So Hasty Lumbago says, I also invented a taco with an olive in it, except I used, instead of a shell, a glass filled with gin and vermouth. And that sounds like my kind of taco. Mini Johnny says, hey there, why is the picture of the gargantulic a picture of a skeleton? Also, the Moxie Chore adventure in the castle needs a picture. Thanks. Oh, wow. I didn't realize there was a missing picture in the castle. Oh, wait. Apparently Hot Stuff is flipping out because he's been trying to tell me for months that there's a missing picture. Is it no pick or is it actually broken? It is no pick. Well, that's okay. Then that's the deal. Whatever the text says you're doing to increase your moxie in the castle, what you're actually doing is straightening paintings that have pictures of sad faces on them. So that's the explanation for right now. Anyway, Mini Johnny says, why is the picture of the gargantulic a picture of a skeleton? Well, the lick has a skeleton head, and I couldn't make it any bigger without just zooming in on the skeleton head. I suppose I could... It might be interesting to put a tombstone in the picture of the regular lick and then put a little bitty tiny tombstone there for the picture of the gargantulic. Although there aren't any... You find the gargantulic inside one of the nooks or crannies and there wouldn't be any tombstones in there. Unless it, like, followed you outside and you were fighting out in the yard, which would be spelled Y-R-A-D. And your milkshake could bring all the boys to the Urad. Donna Matrix says, any chance of having the repetition filter go the way of the shout filter in /clan? You know, I'm not even entirely sure that the repetition filter really needs to be there anymore. I think I could just as easily do it in the JavaScript and not have to hit the table every time you chat, which really, now that I think about it, is just terrible. You know what? I could keep it in the session. I could do all kinds of things. All right, Zeno's working on it. Awesome. Actually, you know what? I'll do it. It's trivial, because all I have to do is register another array in the session and then do exactly the same thing that I do with, like, your last five adventures or whatever, where it rotates it out. Whatever the command is that you use instead of pop to do the opposite of pop. No, there's push and pop, but then there's that other shift and unshift, right? So you push and shift to have things go in one end and fall out the other when they're done. Let's see. DiscoFreak579 says, and briefcases are not multi-usable. All right. Briefcase, he wrote on his to-do list, multi-use. All right. No, I guess some of the other pieces of candy are now. So, all right, make me a list, fellas, of things that you know that people want. And by fellas, I mean Hot Stuff. Things that you know people want to multi-use that are not right now. Lycan says, hey, Jick, would it be possible to equip /unequip familiar items directly from your terrarium? Because it's a bit of a hassle to do it the other way, especially if you just want to swap. Yes. That is something that we are definitely thinking about and definitely got in the works. And it'll happen before too long. There's all kinds of little interface things that people have been wanting for a long time that are going to be happening in the very near future. Carado says, I just have to say I love you for making this game. That is Jick, not that creepy skullhead dude. Yeah, that dude is kind of creepy. He was looking at me today in a way that made me not entirely comfortable. Curse14 says, could we get some Red Hot Chili Peppers instead of this whiny hippie music? And of course, this was from 2 days ago, so whatever was playing on the radio 2 days ago apparently compares unfavorably to Red Hot Chili Peppers, according to Curse14. Not sure there's anything I can do about that. Let's see. Disco Thief says, after the king is free, path choices disappear. Is there a way to keep info on the character sheet? I want to know what people were that particular run without waiting for them to restart. Aha. No. You know, I think that's going to stay annoying. I mean, theoretically, you shouldn't. There are some other questions down further that are going to lead me to talk about this some more. But I mean, theoretically, you shouldn't be hanging out that long, especially at this point after you've beat the king. And if you are concerned with, I mean, it's really sort of up to them. If they're concerned with people knowing that they were a boost to Farion this time, then, you know, you can always, well, I don't know, never mind. What I was going to say you can do, you actually can't, but haha. Link226 says, why don't you get an item appropriate to your class for beating the trash quest the way you do the trapdoor? You should get a giant plastic knife or a giant spoon to fling peas from. Actually, one of the things that we intended to do with the trash quest and that we presumably eventually will... You know what? I think actually Mr. Skullhead might have already written some content for this, and it's just that I haven't gotten around to actually doing it. We were going to make it so you got a random item of garbage from that, and that out of a set of three, and that the three random items of garbage would combine into a garbage outfit, which, now that I think about it, it would be funny if the avatar for that was you sitting in a trash can, like Oscar the Grouch. But yeah, we just kind of never got around to it. It was one of those things where, you know, and honestly, what we should start doing is we should never push something out saying we're going to add this to it later, because the entire game is full of shit that's like 95% done and was supposed to be just a little bit better and isn't. So, yeah. Right. Yeah, Riff's got some stuff in part of the Ascension content that we've been saying we were going to do for a long, long time, and he's really mad because we keep not doing it. Although, I think the problem that I had with that, Xenophobe fixed, and the problem that Hot Stuff had with it, Mr. Skullhead fixed, and the problem that the Multizar had with it, Zlyania fixed, so we should be okay to move forward on it now. So, yeah. Let's see. Strudel Ninja says, what race are the naughty sorceresses' guards? I will tell you later. Lusty Pirate Wench says, will the Fez of E eventually be reinstated? Yep, same deal. Something we've been meaning to do for a long time. I think that is actually not in the Wikigasm, which I apparently have just revealed to everyone is the name of our to-do system. It was my idea, but I just realized that nobody but us know this, that it's called the Wikigasm, and I thought it was our... No, yeah, I don't think so either, because that's kind of embarrassing. Anyway, somebody put in the Wikigasm that we need to think about and fix the Fez of Etymology thing. I think what Giggs came up with is a perfect solution, because the idea was that we would make another copy of the dictionary item that was not a quest item that had an auto-sell value of, like, some ludicrous amount, like however much meat you get for the quest reward now, and you could then elect to either sell it for that big meat boost or make the Fez out of it. And that might be another opportunity to make, like, an outfit out of, you know, have you be able to smith that with a bunch of different things, and you could get, like, the jockstrap of nomenclature, says Riff. The lexical... Are there any pants that start with an L? Lexical lederhosen. something like that. Private Donut 21. Your name is Private Donut? Is it possible to make an option to make certain items not appear in the item management in the shop? It's annoying to wade through all the time to find the items you want to keep. It's annoying to wade through to find the ones you want to keep. If you don't want to keep the ones you're having to wade through, why don't you get rid of them? And that way you won't have to wade through them the next time. Unless there's some other issue. I mean, yes, the managed store interface could use some work, but... You know, that's kind of secondary to other stuff that we're working on, and tertiary to still other stuff. Skid says, a bunch of us were talking in Valhalla about ideas for new familiars, and the idea came up to have a contest to make a new familiar. Is there any chance this would ever happen? My experience with holding contests for people to create content has been Well, what we do is we have a contest for people to make content, and a bunch of people make content, and we evaluate it, and then it turns out that Riff won. So the solution to all that, I mean, we basically are saving everybody the trouble of going through this arduous contest process by hiring Riff, which we have done, so now we just don't need to worry about it anymore. Let's see. MaxGuy56 says, I'm glad you used my idea to put a coffee pixie on a coffee mug. Interesting coincidence. The back of the cup has the word golden, which is my last name. Ah, damn it, he found out. And actually, if you when you pour hot liquids into one of those mugs, it burns MaxGuy56, because we stole some of his hair and had the manufacturer put some of his hair into each cup. And then we had the witch doctor that lives in the alley behind the house. Turns out it's not a homeless guy, it's a witch doctor. He lives in a hut down the way, and he's always on a vision quest out in the alley. Like, apparently his spirit guide is a filthy mattress. But anyway, we talked to him, and we had him finish up the rest of the voodoo doll process on the coffee cups. So everybody get one of those so that you can cause MaxGuy56 to be burned. Or, I guess, have sex with him. If you were the kind of person who wanted to have sex with a coffee cup. Zaku says, what is the Warpeth of Zoni after the Killer Bees haiku mean? That means that the Killer Bees haiku was written by the character Warpeth of Zoni. Is Warpeth of Zoni still around? No, wow, that account must have gotten disabled. That sucks. Anyway, that guy wrote that thing. And it was clever, and we didn't have one, and he proposed one that was just perfect, so we used it. Mathman says, if a person has a Mr. A, they should get an intrinsic Canadianity effect, or Canadiancy, actually, is what it says, but also, the Canadiancy effect should make you say A and ooh more often. I think it makes you say ooh every time you say O-O, I mean O-U. Maybe not every time. Maybe only when you say. I mean, I toned those down because they were too annoying. It's like now they're kind of funny, because you know they're not just constantly happening. They're more funny than they are annoying. Let's see. Arcane says, could you make it so you can log into chat without logging into the kingdom? No, because it's the same reason that every time somebody comes in and says, hey, you know what you should do is you should offload this chat to an IRC server so that way everybody could use their own clients and stuff. And I don't want to because I want the chat to be, I mean, the chat is already very tightly integrated with the game, and I want it to be, you know, more integrated with the game rather than less. Like, I have some sort of, like, command line utilities that I use in the chat, which, I mean, this is a dumb reason for me to make it, you know, a certain way for everybody, but, you know, I've never claimed that I don't do things for dumb reasons. I want you to be able to adventure in the Haiku Dungeon and get access to the channel, and then just be able to go right into the Haiku channel in the chat. And, you know, in order to do that, the chat needs to depend on the altar of literacy. It needs to know who you are. You know, I don't want you coming into chat and pretending to be, you know, Armac and complain about things, because people will think that you're Armac complaining about things that maybe Armac wouldn't complain about. And we don't know yet, but there might be something that Armac won't complain about. We haven't found it yet, but, you know, just because we don't have any examples doesn't mean that there does not exist something like that. But, you know what you can do? You can, I think the chat will leave you logged in. Like, if you open a browser window, and then you log into Kingdom of Loathing, and then you go File, New Window, and load whatever server you're on, .kingdomofloathing.com/lchat.php, you will get the chat in a full-screen window, and then I'm almost sure that you can close the main window that you're logged into, and then you've got a window that is just the KOL chat, and you don't have to be, I mean, you are technically logged into KOL if you opened another new window that shared memory space with that browser, or presumably if you were in a tab, if you use some gay-ass tab browser, that, you know, you are logged in because you've still got your session set like you're logged in. So if you opened up another new window and then went to, like, main.html, it would load and you would be able to play the game. But, you know, you don't have to have it sitting there. I mean, you can also just drag the chat frame across the entire across the entire window, and you can pretend that you're in the chat without being in KOL. It's interesting that there are thousands of people who play that never enter the chat, and then there are thousands of people for whom this game is basically a chat client with a really vestigial game attached to the left side of it. Calcifer says, why does a cave-in cause 4 beaten up when a normal death only causes 3? That is because there is a goofy bug that I am pretty sure I figured out a way pretty easily to fix that bug, but I just haven't done it yet. Yeah. Changling Bob says, happy Sneaky Pete's Day, Jick. Hey, happy Sneaky Pete's Day to you, too. I was wondering what actually happens during rollover. You know, it might be fun to actually read the code to you on the air of what happens during rollover. I doubt if it would be fun, actually. Let's see. Although, you know what, I have a kind of a plain English description of all the stuff that happens during rollover. I could go through the highlights. Because I've got this report that I can look at that says how long it took, and also so I can see if the daily script is done running, like on the days when I make it so rollover doesn't actually ever end, so that I can work on stuff after everybody's kicked off and after the daily script is done running. Okay, so the first thing we do is we kick everybody off, and then we back up all the PHP code. Then we go through and we mark all of the people who like got Mr. Accessories or Mr. Store Items as gifts, no delete. Sometimes that works and makes it so you don't get deleted, and sometimes it doesn't. Then we delete all of the accounts that are a week old and haven't been activated yet. Then we delete all the accounts that are haven't played in 60 days. Then we delete all the disabled accounts that haven't played in 2 weeks. And then we go through and we figure out if deleting any of those players, like, fucked up any clans, left any without a leader, left any of them empty, and if so, it gets rid of those. Then we go through and we figure out if it fucked up any mall stores, and we get rid of those. So, like, if somebody got disabled through some channel that doesn't automatically disable their mall store, because people were getting pissed off because you can't buy stuff from mall stores of players that are disabled, but they would still show up in the search. So now they go away at the end of the day because of this part of the script, which today executed in 2 seconds. So, you know. Then we spend 4 seconds giving everybody 40 adventures. Then we spend 11 seconds, which is a ridiculous number. And it's not even funny. Restoring hit points and MP based on what you've got in your campsite. Then we spend some time giving people adventures for having stuff equipped that gives you adventures. Then we give everyone goofball withdrawal. Then we clear out the records of, like, how many times you've summoned noodles in a day and how many times you have PvP fought or whatever. And then we... reset clan attack. That's weird. I wouldn't have thought that was actually something that happened during rollover. And then we delete the... God damn, that takes a long time. The records that tell you... Why does that take so long? Those should all be getting deleted. The query to delete things that... I see. I was thinking, it says delete mall purchase records. And I was thinking that what that was the table that stores how many of a given item you've bought from a given store in a day for limit purposes. But I think what that actually is... Maybe that uses the same thing that the store log does. And it takes infinitely longer to delete records that are before a certain timestamp than it does to just, like, clear out the table completely. So a lot of stuff... there are probably other ways that we could go about doing it that would be faster. For instance, it used to take a long time to delete all the old logs because we log every player action so that we can, you know, track you down when you are naughty. And presumably reward you when you're nice, but we usually don't bother going out of our way to mess with that stuff unless, like, somebody takes money from us. So what we used to do is keep, like, 3 days' worth of logs, and then we would archive all the rest of them. But what we do now is we delete all the logs at night after they've been archived to another machine, so that's much faster now. But that thing I did, which shaved a couple minutes off of rollover, went in on exactly the same day as something else I added that added a couple minutes to rollover. So in that case, it's not saving us any time. So after that, we reset clan attack, which I'm not entirely sure what that means. Because I don't think it actually does... I don't think it actually keeps track of clan attacks in the way that it used to when that part was added. Anyway, it took 0 seconds, so leaving it in there is not a big deal, but I should check it out. Then it decides whether or not it's a clover day by flipping a coin. Then it picks which items the bounty hunter wants. And then it picks the daily special in the brewery, and it picks the daily special in the restaurant. And, oh, by the way, everybody, it wasn't just a coincidence yesterday that there was green beer in the brewery. It was, I made it, so it always does that. It hard-coded it. Then it chooses which of the miscellaneous weird leaderboards are going to show for a day. And then, because this isn't reasonable order to do stuff in, then it gives you adventures for clan calendars. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why that happens in that order. Then it maxes out everybody's adventures at 200. Then it updates the moons. Then it removes money from everybody's collection endowments. And then it picks which familiars go into the... I bet this is actually marginally interesting to people. And I don't know why it never occurred to me to go through this before. Because it's also... It's eaten up a lot of time, which is something that is sometimes a problem for me, filling the time that this show takes. So... Let's see, it picks the house familiars, and then it spends a few seconds growing everyone's mushroom plots. Then it spends 2 minutes doing stuff that nobody ever sees, because it is our, like, item and economy tracking stats. Then it does a sort of archive of that archive. Then it picks everything that's in the daily dungeon. Then it does a backup of the player table for purposes of... something that I don't remember. Then it generates a little text file that tells me how many accounts got created and how many accounts got played in the last day, week, month, and like how many got deleted from inactivity and that kind of stuff. Let's see. Then it goes through... No, wait, let's see. Then it makes sure that there's enough oatmeal to feed all the clan armies. Then it goes through and it just deletes... It deletes all the stuff from tables that need to be culled after a certain period of time, like store logs, clan logs, the log of, like, login, like, failed login attempts, the logs of actual logins from, like, IP and user that we use for tracking, because those all get stored somewhere else. It's just that they get stored in two places, because there's one place that they need quick access for some of the stuff we do when you log in. I don't know if this was always like this or not. I can't remember if this changed, but it used to be such that if you were in the middle of a fight when rollover happened, you would come back and still be in the fight, but now it is no longer like that. It deletes the current fight. Because the other thing that would happen is if you were in the middle of a fight when you decided to never log in again, it would just leave that fight record in the table. So there were just thousands and thousands of records in that table, and so it was like slowing stuff down in a way that it didn't need to. Then we spend some time dumping things into files that Xenophobe's magical sandbox machine, which is now hobbling along on like half of one leg and needs to be replaced by something that we're going to buy at Fry's Electronics, and Xenophobe's going to build, can store it. Then, let's see. Then we re-auto-increment chat, which is something that makes it so if you stay logged on to dev, it used to be, if you stayed logged on to dev, you would be in the chat and people would be able to see what you were saying, but you wouldn't be able to see what anybody else was saying if you stayed on during rollover. Somehow, that magically fixed itself, and nobody knows how. That's the kind of thing that really shakes my faith in consistency and reason. You know what? I also might have gotten drunk and fixed it, and then gotten drunker and forgot that I fixed it, because that's the kind of thing that happens sometimes. Then it's any private messages that didn't get delivered that day get sent into your last private messages things, and then it lets people log on again. So, wow. What a fun thing that was. So yeah, that is Changling Bob. What actually happens during rollover? Zalan says, concerning the Naughty Sorceress' new spell damage cap, a sorcerer with a total of plus 40 spell damage was encountering a cap of 21 to 26 damage throughout the use of three different levels of spells. Stream of Sauce, 3 MP. Sauce Storm, 12 MP. Wave of Sauce, 23 MP. In this case, Chronic Indigestion is a better choice. That is because I forgot to cap the damage done by Chronic Indigestion. Raffle. You ruined it. Oh, boy. Everybody, if you're pissed off tomorrow when Chronic Indigestion's damage is capped, blame Zalan for pointing it out. The damage doesn't cap against the sorceress when you use Chronic Indigestion. So, anyway, and if a teetotaler, even better, over a class's third... Wait, weird. In this case, chronic indigestion is a better choice. If you have the choice of eating food, and if a teetotaler, even better, over a class's own third-tier spell, would it be possible to scale the damage cap so it's specific to each tier of spells as it was before, and not seemingly over the same small range as it appears to be now? I.e., tier 1 cap equals 20, tier 2 cap equals 28... Tier 3 cap equals 36, and so on and so forth. By as it was before, I meant simply that you placed individual caps on certain spells, even though it was only the highest level versions of each. It's... The thing about the sorceress is that she's the only fight in the game that any of this stuff matters on. And the problem... I mean, the purpose of it is we're just sort of trying to enforce that the fight lasts a certain amount of time so that you have to do as much damage as you can over the entire fight in order to survive. And that's, we've made it hard, and basically there were things we didn't think of or didn't try that made it not as hard in ways that we didn't want it to be made not as hard. Whatever you learn from that convoluted set of sentences is what you know now. And the more you know, the less damage you do against the sorceress. Amazing Upa says, why doesn't the stainless steel solitaire reduce the cost of the Moxious Maneuver? Ah, because I didn't think of that. The Moxious Maneuver is not a skill. And it's not a... I mean, it isn't. It acts like a skill, but it's not coded as a skill. Oh, really? Did I decide? Apparently, Hot Stuff asked me if I wanted it to change the cost of Moxious Maneuver, and I didn't want to. Now I kind of want to. Because Amazing Upa, he's very persuasive. He says, why doesn't the Stainless Steel Solitaire reduce the cost of the Moxious Maneuver? And that is a compelling argument. Man, what an orator. And Amazing Upa, I'm not making fun of you. Mathman says, why can't you adventure in a stupor if you're out of hit points? I mean, have you ever tried to wander around drunk when you were totally out of hit points? Because I'm telling you, you can't do it. You won't even make it past your threshold, provided you've gotten drunk behind some sort of threshold. The Nice One says, what comic books did you buy last night? Let's see, shall we? I don't know. I guess Hot Stuff told everybody in the forums what comic books I bought last night, but let's see. I'm going to see if my cord will make it over to my pile of comic books. And it will. What I bought was issues 19 and 18 of Player vs. Player, just because, it's not that I like Player vs. Player. It's just that I like to do things that I know would make the Penny Arcade guys angry. They have kind of a rivalry with those guys. I bought issue 87 of Usagi Yojimbo, which, even though it's kind of the same story over and over again 1,000 times, I'm just compelled to keep reading it because it's awesome. And then I bought something based entirely on the cover art, which is something I do every once in a while, which is something called Following the Damned. And it says it's a San Diego Con exclusive, but I didn't get it at the con, but I was at the con, so I feel that I'm within the bounds of that exclusivity. And then I bought the first the graphic novel. You know what? No, I'm not even going to say graphic novel because I fucking hate that. I'm not. It's a trade paperback. All right. It's yeah. That was what Nightmare said to me when I told him that I'd been to the comic shop. He was like, No, you didn't buy comics. You bought graphic novels. Comics are for kids. Graphic novels for adults who are virgins that live in their mom's basement. But anyway, what I bought was the first. You know, it's weird. I saw this book a long time ago, and I thought, man, this is obviously a total Harry Potter ripoff. And it really surprises me that Neil Gaiman would do something that was so, you know, obviously ridiculous. But it turns out it's a total Harry Potter ripoff that predated Harry Potter by a number of years, which led me to believe that maybe it was something I should read. I like Neil Gaiman a lot. I got to borrow his new book from Riff so that I can read it. Although I feel like I should reread American Gods before I do that, because that's actually one of my favorite books. And I loaned it to Bjorn. I want to say I loaned that book to Bjorn about a year before I started working on Kingdom of Loathing. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I'm probably not going to get my book back. So I'm going to have to go buy another copy. And I was hoping that Neil would, you know, because he and I, we're on a first name basis. Like, you know, it also turns out that, like, Tori Amos, you know what? I never did tell anybody what the name of this book was. This was just sort of an 8-minute tangent. Anyway, it's Books of Magic by Neil Gaiman, the first one. I had read The Pretentious Artist started reading this this comic called Life During Wartime, which is a book that has some of the characters from the Books of Magic series in it. And apparently they pop up in a lot of stuff. And it's, yeah. Okay, so I think I started a number of sentences there that I didn't finish, or at least a number of thoughts that I didn't finish.
You're going to say something about Tori.
I was going to say something about Tori Amos, says Riff. All right. So, yeah, Tori Amos, she had, there were, like, she had all these lyrics about Neil and the Dream King and stuff, and then everybody was like, oh, yeah, she's friends with Neil Gaiman. But it turns out she wasn't friends with Neil Gaiman. She just read his stuff a lot and then wrote some songs about him and his stuff, and then, I mean, not about it, but just mentioned some of his stuff in some of her songs, and then they met after that. Which is weird. So, I mean, maybe if I write something into my game about Neil and I pretend that I'm friends with him, then one day I will get to meet him, and he will give me a hug, and everything will finally be okay.
Maybe you should write some stuff about
Tori
Amos.
Yeah, that's the only Riff suggests. Maybe I should write some stuff about Tori Amos and hope that the same thing would happen. Although, I get the feeling that Tori Amos would just eat me alive. You know, as attractive as she is, I just feel like she has teeth everywhere. Also, I think she's married. Indigo says, I have an idea for the gift shop guy. Wait a minute, this is Gorblax's territory. Gorblax, are you going to stand for this shit? Indigo. Let's see, Gorblax, I'm going to give you his player ID. It is 220873. You didn't hear this from me. Anyway, I have an idea for the gift shop guy. Name him Mark. Then you can make a lot of bad puns about the Hall of Mark and how crappy the keepsakes are. So for keepsake, don't give them to people you like. And how everything costs twice what it should because it's the thought that counts. But it's the thought that counts. That's kind of clever, actually. Although, as good an idea as it is, I think that I cannot name the gift shop guy just because if we name the gift shop guy, the Gorblaxes have already won. Arcane says, with the HP boost for muscle, could we pretty please, with sugar and a cherry on top, get a gauze hammock? Maybe as Clover in disguise adventure for the obligatory pirate ship. Yes, probably. I think I'm going to do what I had said that I was going to do about making it so you can get either the beanbag or the hammock, but not both, and have one of them do double MP and one of them do double HP. So it probably won't drop as a gauze hammock. It'll probably be something you have to make. And whether that's from a new job, a new monster, or what, a new item drop, or something else, then I don't know. Gorblax asked if I would reconsider naming the gift shop guy if he told me he loved me. No. No difference whatsoever. Tasha 8834. Oh, Oh, I see. Tasha 8834 had asked a question about an undelivered Mr. Accessory and then waited a couple days and got her Mr. Accessory because we do get to those. Zly had some relatives in town and was gone for a couple days, so there was a little bit of a delay there, but yeah. Gorblack says, it seems apropos that there should be a reference to the Sea of Loathing mentioned in Disturbed's Down with the Sickness. Yeah, maybe so. We must have referenced them after they referenced the word that we also referenced for no particularly good reason, though. Debbie Does Disco says, why don't the sections of your inventory that you close stay closed? I think Xenophobe has some tricks up his sleeve for that, that he's been kind of dicking around with, and so it'll happen. And, huh. Di Vernon says, is the new Bitten a reference to the god-awful movie Merlin's Magical Shop of Wonders? May not be the exact title. No, the monkey is sort of a reference to just creepy cymbal-playing monkeys in and of themselves, and then sort of a reference to the Stephen King take on the cymbal-playing monkey that's creepy, and every time he claps his cymbal, somebody dies. Including a bunch of fish, because it got thrown into a well, which for some reason had fish in it. Now that I think about that story, it makes no sense at all. Let's see, IPK for fun says, how long has the Naughty Sorcerers ruled the Kingdom of Loathing? The history of Loathing will become more evident as we make it up and tell you about it. We actually have a vague timeline, so I mean there is an answer to that question. How long has it been since the Naughty Sorceress imprisoned King Ralph? And also, if you're say on your fourth day of an ascension, it's been 4 days. That's always an answer that you can consider. Big Green Bump says, how about considering changing food preferences to reflect their effect on fullness rather than their absolute number? Example, you'd have to eat 6 hot wings for them to show preference over 1 bat wing chow mein. While that makes sense, I don't see a compelling reason to go to the extra work, I guess, is the question, is the issue, is the thing. Let's see. Rutabaga asks a question that I will talk to her about in private because it's kind of spoilery. Armax says, Arlen Harrison made a win the game button. I suggest you add it to the game and make the council unlock it for you halfway through level 9, a.k.a. the Yeti Alley of Despair. This will help morale. Apparently, there's a lot of people who feel like they get stuck in this rut between level 9 and 10 that makes it so that there's nothing for them to do that's useful other than just kill Yetis over and over and over again. Yeah. Let's see. Miasma says, why can't we have a hot link to the hole in the sky? Because you're too depressing. Miasma. Crystallina says, lunging thrust smack doesn't hit 100% with a ranged weapon. Some people like me find it easy to forget there's one equipped. Could its missed message have a subtle, funny hint for this? Yes, that is a good idea, actually. That you try to lunge smack but realize that you can't because you are not actually hitting them. Matt underscore AFI says, Jick, did you know that the ultra rare items have a secret message? Apparently, using the first letters of all of the ultra rares, you can spell BITCH. It was totally on purpose, by the way. You discovered my secret message. Really, the only reason that I created this game and went through the entire process of slowly rolling out the ultra rares and stuff is so that I could call you, Matt underscore AFI, a bitch. And you know what? That's it. Game over. I'm pulling the plug. Actually, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to play 3 songs selected pretty much at random. First thing is Blood Makes Noise by Suzanne Vega, which I think I played before too long. Before I played not too long ago. Before I don't know how to talk anymore. And then a live version of Two-Headed Boy from the Neutral Milk Hotel. And then what will lead you back into me is the fourth track on the Amelie soundtrack, which is some pretty piano stuff. All right, I'm going to go pee and get a beer and let my ass get unsweaty from sitting down. So see you guys in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, it's like a 10-minute interlude, I guess. That's kind of a lot.
Shining through the wall, and I'd like to give you information. That's my favorite blood makes noise. reason to grieve. The world that you need is wrapped in gold, silver sleeves left beneath Christmas trees in the snow. I will take you and leave you alone, watching spirals of white softly over your eyelids and all you do. But wait until the point when you let go.
That song a lot. The entire soundtrack is good, but that song in particular is just, I don't know. It's a neat song. Let's see. Pinky the Bold 55 says, why is the kingdom called Loathing? Because I needed a noun when I made the directory to upload the first couple of scripts into that made up this game. Terrapina says, do our stats have any effect on how often the sorceress knocks items from our hands or cancels our skills, or is that ability completely RNG-dependent? No. Cloud the Adventurer says, why is Jick such a self-centered prick? I blame society for constantly telling me how great I am. Whatever Rob says, when you change things on the server, do you use a Unix box and SSH into the server to make the changes to the PHP? Well, yeah, I mean, I SSH into the server to make the changes to the PHP. I don't use a Unix box to do so. I just use my regular old Windows machine that I done bought from Dell. Let's see. Sorry, got distracted by something. What is that song, says the giver? I don't know what song you mean. If you're talking about the song that I played to open the show with, it's Einstein on the Beach by Counting Crows. It was a song that came out that I don't know that it ever got released on. It got released on some kind of sampler of like rarities by the record label. I think that was kind of the song that sold that album to everybody. But it was a song I think that they felt wasn't depressing enough to put on August and Everything After, so they didn't. Yeah, I like it though. It's a good song. Blind Chaos 13 also asking about the. About the Fez of Etymology again. Let's see. XX Armageddon XX says, I see a problem. When you did the whole what player is in what channel, you knocked off Lounge because it annoyed them. However, if you check a person who is in the channel rather than listening, it shows them as in Lounge. Check on Tertopotamus. So I think you'd have to clear Lounge that way, too. All right, well, there was a misunderstanding about the change that I made to that. I didn't make it so it doesn't show you what channels somebody is listening to if they're in Lounge, because Lounge people are special and elite and awesome and we're getting irritated by plebes bothering them. I made it such that if somebody is listening to a channel that you don't have access to, you don't get to see that they're listening to it. And the reason for that was not... I mean, the reason that I still let it show up when you're actually in a channel, you know, is... I don't know. Yeah, I totally don't know. I mean, it was already like that. I mean, I wasn't... Yeah, you've always been able to see that. I mean, it's not, you know... I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like... When I did the listen thing... Effectively, what you need to do is, every time I make a change to the game, like this initiative change, the things that I did between the first time I changed something and right now... didn't actually happen. Every change takes a couple of days, and the sort of interstitial sections of it, they don't really exist. They weren't documented anywhere. Nobody but you saw them. I'm pretty sure that you are fucking crazy. So basically, it's not like I showed what channels you were listening to, even if you didn't have access to them, for like a year and then suddenly made it go away. I added that functionality, and I'm almost sure it was just a matter of minutes before I made it so you couldn't see it. So it's not, you know. Yeah. Sauceman Spiff says, let's see, the Blues are holding a fan-created dinosaur comics contest, details in a forum thread. Would you please plug it on the air for us? Thanks. If by it you mean Mr. Skullhead's mom, then yes, I will gladly plug her on the air. If you mean the forum contest, then yes, everybody, go check out the Blues fan-created dinosaur comics contest, presumably in the contest forum. Electropunk Girl says, why is there a visible drunk in this meter but not a hunger one? Because, just the stock answer here, hunger meter is not funny, or rather fullness. I mean, because it's not like... I mean, I guess a hunger meter would correspond to a desire to get drunk meter, which is something that I, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good sense for myself of, you know, how far I am towards meeting my daily desire to get drunk at any given point. It would be neat if you could see that about other people, because then, I mean, you would know what girls to talk to on campus, for instance. Be like, ah, this girl's wanting to get drunk. I think I got some other things this girl can have. And then, you know, you know, who's there. Yeah, I mean, food is different than drinking. You can experiment with food and it's not going to hurt you. So part of the game is figuring out how food works. And the fullness meter would not be cool. Java Joe says, I have a suggestion. Would it be extremely difficult to brand Mr. A's with the name of whoever originally donated for them? Just a thought, however useless and impractical. Yes, it would require it would require us to modify basically all the code that handles items. items do not have any identity. If you have three Mr. Accessories and I have two, there's a table in a database, there's a field in a table, and for you it says three, for me it says two. And if you send me one, for me it says three, and for you it says two. Unless that's not the opposite of what I said before, in which case it's the other way around. But it has no way of knowing which one of those was which. I mean, it could be the bottom one on the stack, it could be the top one on the stack, it could even be the middle one on the stack. There's just no way of knowing, because items don't actually have any identity. There are just stacks of items and quantities, and the game can't tell one from another. Scooby says, do you ever talk to Lothers one-on-one, or just certain ones, or do you have access to a certain channel? Oh, I have access to a certain channel. You know, I talk to lots of people. I talk to people on the radio, I talk to people in the forums, I talk to people in the chat. Sometimes I go into other channels and talk to other people, and sometimes I go into different channels and talk to different people. And, you know, we all try to make ourselves as available as possible, you know, to the extent that we can still get our work done. Tor Cool Guy says, my friend says his account menu says this account cannot be deleted, where it should say it will be deleted after 60 days. Do you know anything about this? Yes, I do. When you have bought something from Mr. Store, you render your account immune from auto-deletion. The goal is to not ever destroy items that somebody donated for. So if you have a Mr. Store familiar, you won't get deleted. If somebody sends you a Mr. A or a Mr. Store item, you should get harvested by the rollover script and marked no delete. And yep, that's what happens. KOL Bay says, boo! Any special plans for Halloween? I'd like to decorate my campground with some ghosts. But what would you and the ghosts use to decorate your campground with? Get it? That was a joke that was based on me interpreting an ambiguous sentence in the way other than the one in which it was obviously intended. We get a lot of mileage out of that style of joke. Yeah, we'll do something for Halloween. We'll have to think about it. Like I said, Halloween and Christmas are the two real-life holidays that we kind of get excited about. Really, Halloween. I mean, Halloween is honestly the holiday about which I get the most excited of any sort of holiday that's observed in this country. Ah, crap. I just lost my place on the messages. I will have to do a search for ghosts. Or not. Hey, awesome. No, I don't. Moxious Mouse says, will there ever be any additional ascension paths like No Pants or Hippie Free? Also, any update on the guild quests? Guild quests are getting closer and closer, actually, to the first big segment of them, it's on the horizon of one of those little small planets like the Little Prince is on. Not a horizon like a big planet like this one where it's really far away, or like the horizon of a planet like Jupiter, which would kind of suck, because if you were standing where you could see the horizon, you would just totally fall into the center and then probably choke on whatever gases Jupiter's made of. But yeah, soon. The No Pants Ascension, that's kind of funny, although it's impossible. I mean, that's the thing. Like, people have suggested a No Familiars Ascension because, you know, but then you can't get past the Sorcerer's Quest. People have suggested a No Pants Ascension, but then you can't beat the Goblin King. I mean, it's... I don't know about coding weird exceptions like that for weird things. I mean, I don't know. Maybe a no-pants ascension wouldn't be that much harder than a regular ascension. Maybe it would. Who knows? Let's see. Why would philanthropist never be able to do this? Oh, haha, because his name has pants in it. Boy, that's a funny joke. DeCyclops says, when you look at the profile of someone who is in Hardcore, it puts Hardcore under their class title. However, when you look at someone in Ronin, it doesn't. Could you make it, please? I could make it with Mr. Skullhead's mom. You're welcome. Yeah, sure, yeah, why not? Garland says, if there is new post-level 11 content eventually, will it be different in hardcore as opposed to softcore? If not, will we be able to beat the naughty sorceress, get the hardcore limitations get the hardcore limitations lifted after we beat the sorceress and then go to the higher level content? Or will we have to ascend softcore to begin with if we want to try the new content using all of our plexiglass / stainless steel items? You'll be able to beat the sorceress and get out of hardcore, and then, I mean, there's no reason that you can't just keep playing at that point and not have any restrictions on at all. I mean, if you do it in 600 turns, then you'll still be in Ronin, but once that's over, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, the whole point of the high-level content is for there to be stuff that's still challenging even when you don't have the Ronin restrictions and the hardcore restrictions. So, yes. I mean, right now, when you free the king, it puts you into a state that is identical to you being in softcore, because it gives you this flag that kind of follows you along that says, I completed this hardcore ascension, and, you know, I completed it with a path, if you completed it with a path. And so, when you get out of there, it'll you'll be fine. You'll be able to do everything. let's see. Toothless says, thanks for a great game. Any thoughts on doing a Pacific Northwest con? There have been a number of Seattle things that have happened. Actually, the first thing that I ever went to was a Seattle gathering. There's a lot of folks up there that are into that kind of thing, and they will undoubtedly do something else in the future. Vulgaris says, can we make coats, jackets, blazers, or sweaters from the trapper furs? Probably eventually. Not now, you can't. Because you can't. Weird. Bren4220 says, I got this message after logging out tonight. Warning, session_destroy. Session object destruction failed in home, jick, htdocs, logged out.php on line 87. Care to explain? It probably tried to destroy a session that had already been destroyed. If you loaded the logout button twice by accident, it'll do that. It's not a big deal. Olaf the Mediocre says, you don't need a sidekick. The show is much better when you are alone. Scully is okay, but you two just argue too much. But us arguing is what makes the Monday show fun. It's a different show. It has different listeners. It has different appeals. It has different, you know, it's fun. I have more fun on the Monday show because I get to talk to my friend Mr. Skullhead and tell him what a douchebag he is for liking things that suck. And it's fun for me. I don't know. I feel like there is a set of people who like to listen to us fuck around, and there's a set of people who like to listen to me talk about game stuff. And while those set of people overlap in some ways, there are also, you know, people who exist in one set or the other. And so now they each have something to listen to, you know? Gorblack says, do the new familiars perform in the same way in the arena as their counterparts? Yes, that may not stay that way. If it ever occurs to me to spend the time actually sitting down and thinking about what things they would be good at based on this sort of random, story elements of what it is. We were thinking, it was kind of funny, like when we first put the arena in, Mr. Skullhead wrote of every familiar, like what things he thought they would be good at and what things they would suck at and described why. And we were thinking it might be funny to have, like, you know, descriptions of what happened. And we did write the descriptions of what happened if you try to do an event that you have a zero in. But no Mr. Store familiars have that, only, like, the new normal familiars, which there just aren't that many anymore. Yeah, that's true. The ADD demon shouldn't... The AD demon should not suck at the scavenger hunt.
It should.
But it's good at finding items. I mean, that's all. That's the thing. It's like kind of the joke kind of backfires because it's not. One Ton Tomato says, can you prevent the maintenance.php page from reloading in the chat pane over and over at rollover when left unattended? I really should. I should make that break out of frames. In fact, I'm not entirely sure why it doesn't. I think for some reason, since its container is a div instead of a frame, the normal code that does cause it to break out of frames doesn't work. Oh, no, okay, it's because the JavaScript doesn't get executed. That's the problem. Yes, chat needs a way to execute arbitrary JavaScript. Yep, and we'll figure out a way. I mean, right now, you know what I should do is I should just put on the maintenance page one of those broken images that does the same thing as exiting the chat. Yeah, this was the weird thing. The only way that we can get something that displays in the chat to execute arbitrary JavaScript, and I mean, maybe somebody knows some tricks. This was, Xenophobe says he knows how to do so. But this was kind of funny. A long time ago, when I wasn't successfully stripping HTML out of chat posts, you know, PyMonkey figured out that you could post like images and stuff if you went through like not my form but a different thing. And he tried and tried and tried to get JavaScript to execute so that he could like display he could say something in chat that would like cause an alert box to pop up on the screen of everybody who was watching, or like send them to some arbitrary website, or like open up a new goat set window or something for them, because they'd already have one Goetze window open, and it would make a copy of the Goetze window that they were already looking at. But the only way that he could figure out to do it, it was to fall backwards in his chair and hit the wall and make a terrible sound. It was to post a broken image with an on-error event in the image load. Because, I don't know, for some reason that event fires and no other JavaScript event fires. And yeah, that does seem like the kind of thing that is just wrong and shouldn't happen. Because the image, I don't know that there's an onload event on an image, but I think there is. And there's not an event for when it finishes loading an image.
There's an event for when the entire page
is. Okay. Huh. Anyway, nothing else would actually execute. No, like you could do like a link tag with an onload or an on, you know, whatever, on mouse over, and it wouldn't happen. No JavaScript events would fire except the on error on an image. So now when I needed a way to make it so you can do the /exit in chat, what that needs to do is display something that then executes arbitrary JavaScript. Really, it doesn't. I mean, I could have done it in a different way, but I wanted to be able to execute JavaScript. Like, it'd be neat if I could suddenly make everybody in the chat pop up a new Goetze window, you know, like with a system message. I think that'd be awesome. But, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, exit now displays a broken image with an on-error thing that reloads the lchat.php. No, chatlaunch.php, which is the that page on the side with the announcements and stuff in it. Pesterwald says, where are the obligatory halflings that show up in every RPG? I'm waiting to encounter some nobbits, but no joy. No, gnomes don't count. Well, there's the halfling knob polisher that occasionally buys the things that you auto-sell. I was thinking about putting in the throbbits from Lord of the G-Strings, but I can't really draw them. I wouldn't be able to do Misty Monday justice as a stick figure anyway. Spinanet says, I blew up my bartender and found myself with 42 cocktail crafting kits. Did you do anything to the bartender explosion drop rate, or was this just a fluke? I mean, it shouldn't ever give you more than one cocktail crafting kit, unless you're just saying that since you ended up with 42, that maybe it was some Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing, but it's not. Left says, hey, Jake, you just recently said that the Tower Monster fights had the auto attack off. Does this also apply to the Naughty Sorceress? I would suspect people would want to go all out on her. No, it doesn't. That one will still, the auto attack will still go off. I mean, the thing is, if auto attack goes off on the Tower Monster fight, you just get beaten up. There's no way around it. That is not the case with the Sorceress. So, it is possible that somebody would want to. Darian Lars says, why can I smith a furry skirt within a box and not pants? And why is it that the quote-unquote same item not act the same as the pants? You suck at sentences, Darian Lars. I thought you said, and kick hot stuff. You really suck at sentences. You know what? I think she's on drugs. Yeah. Slasher says, the repetition filter is useful in Clan due to multi-clicking and lag. Yeah, I can see that. But the thing is, the repetition filter contributes to lag, so, ha ha ha. Ooh, Minders asks a question that, Is an excellent question. Will the Doppelshifter change into the two new Mr. Store familiars? I'll tell you what. You are going to listen to me typing as I make it so that it can. Doing a search for D-O-P-P-E-L. And I got random 1 to 39. Let's see. So, while newfam equals 13, or newfam equals something I'm not going to tell you, or newfam equals 40, newfam equals empty rand 1 through 42. All right. Build fight. Push fight. Now, everyone, aren't you happy that you got to listen to that? Let's see. Now the Doppelshifter will change into the two new Mr. Store familiars. Thank you, Minders, for reminding me about Minders and Mindering. Dr. Ban Van Mojo says, "Hey, Jake, thanks for answering my queue. Just keep tinkering. In the forums, Hot Stuff is teasing us with promises of fancy new Mr. Store swag. Would you like to tease us any further?" Sure. Next week in Mr. Store, there will be an item that costs 50 meat and gives plus 10,000 to item drop percentages. I'm only teasing. Wow, I'm getting a lot of private messages on my Jik account. Don't do that. Send them to Radio Bugbear. Rutabaga says, "Again, can we please have an auto sell similar to how we take things out of Hank so we can clear out our inventories faster?" Yes, one of these days. Sparemeister says, "There's a moth on my monitor. Please make it go away, will ya?" All right, here are the instructions for getting the moth on your monitor to go away. Open up a web browser, and in the location field, type www.tubgirl.com. TUBGIRL.com. Load that, and then you will scream, and it will scare the moth off. Whatever, Rob says, "Jick, are we still going to get the promised Seal Clubber level 12 consumable skill?" Rob, yes. Someday. When we figure out exactly how to do it. Because, I don't know. I keep not liking the ideas, and then they sit there for a long time, and then familiarity breeds contempt. And, yep. Let's see. Gamma Ray says, "Would it be possible for us to arrange our viewable trophies, our visible trophies?" Probably not. Oh, God the Mont 2 says, "I mentioned the Wikigasm months ago on the radio." Okay. The Alchemist says, "What's up with the new Calm Attention Deficit Demon? I tried taking it with me and the thing went and disappeared. Any help would be much appreciated." That happened to 5 people, and we know who they are, and tonight after the show I will go through and fix it for everyone. I fucked up and forgot to push out one particular piece of the code, so the first handful of people that used it they executed it halfway and they got like a zero familiar, and then people in chat are responding to me having just sent them to Tub Girl. I really hope there's somebody out there who has not seen Tub Girl and just saw it because of me. Xenophobe. I had never seen Lemon Party before. Xenophobe sent it to me, and I was like, "Really? What's Lemon Party?" And I went there, and I was like, yes, we can. All right. But we'll have to. All right. So basically. You know what? I'm not even going to say that because that will just it will just cause so many people to lie about it that I. Sorry. If you have problems with your demon, then let me know. Cow of Lost Light says, "In regards to Wikigasm, when I write code that compiles and executes properly the first time, I always call that a nerdgasm." Indeed. Yon Dungeon Man says, "Just speculating here. This will take a while, but what will happen when someone ascends 156 times and acquires every skill in normal and hardcore?" Well, there will be more skills by that time, so they'll have to ascend even more times. And we're planning on keeping that up indefinitely, even if we just have to keep adding hundreds of identical skills that do nothing but have different names. You know, that's a good idea. I'm going to add a couple hundred skills that don't do anything right now, that each cost a billion meat to train. Yeah, that's a good meat sink. Awesome. Getting beaten up by drunken super adventurers on St. Sneaky Pete's Day also gives four adventures a beaten up, says Mulvaney. Yeah, sorry. Olaf the Mediocre says, for the mall log reset, you could totally reset the log every Sunday or something similar. Yeah, that's probably true. One Ton Tomato says, have you hard-coded a restaurant food for the Feast of Boris days? No, I have not, because they're... Maybe I should make some kind of turkey food item or something. That'd be kind of cool if there was something that you could only eat in the restaurant on the Feast of Boris, and then there was a trophy for eating, like, 100 days worth. So you had to keep playing for, like, 33 years to get that trophy. I bet people would do it. Sizzler says, at which point in an Ascension run are the 6 tower monsters for the run determined? Ha ha ha, wouldn't you like to know? I believe that they are determined... They're determined when you load the first page of the tower. If you don't have... They're determined when you click level 1 of the tower. Because at the point where it picks the monster based on what flag you have, if you don't have a flag, it generates the set. In a way that I almost guarantee the code could be made more efficient now because of some tricks that Xenophobus taught me about PHP. With managing arrays and stuff. Garland says, if the new Seal Clubber skill is dual wielding, how about the crafting skill? Have the plans for that been dropped? No, they just they haven't been completed to my satisfaction. And I am a picky son of a bitch and a terrible employer. Garland also says, the Haiku and Limerick dungeons are really funny places, but there isn't any good reason to go there. Any plans on changing this? Funny you should ask, because yes, absolutely some changes to this that will make it more interesting for you to go there. And cool and stuff. And... Dreidel to the Grave says, hey, Jick, if you say how cool my name is on the radio, I'll send you a coupon for Cafe BeigeNet. Dude, I was totally inoperative for BeigeNet. I got to level 10, and then they kicked me out. P.S. My mom bought a key lime pie today. That's fantastic. Melkator says, hey man, I was thinking you might be able to implement an arcade into the clan. A few KOL-based minigames played for 25 meat, and all meat goes into the clan coffer. That's kind of funny. Pesterwald says, can you post the rollover script you just read as a FAQ? That would be very cool. You know, I bet Zalan is transcribing it, and he will probably write down everything that I said, and then you can look at it. Carados says, who has the creepy laugh in the background? Probably Xenophobe, because he has the loudest laugh in the background, and he's the one that you can usually hear laughing. Lord Baichon says, or Baichon, thanks for the red traffic cone. Lusty Pirate Wench says, my 28-year-old daughter wants to know if you want to marry her. She's way too old for me, Lusty Pirate Wench. I only date high school girls. Kane the Great says, do you know if Riff ever checks his K-mail? I'm just wondering. Riff, do you ever check your K-mail? He says, sometimes. All right. Let me see. Mulvaney says, Anansi Boys is really good. Good scene with a lime, too. Oh, good deal. Let's see. Rick Fool says, so, Books of Magic, you read the novels based on the comics? I didn't know there were novels based on the comics. So far, all I have is the comics. Pesterwald says, Tori is married and has a daughter. Gorblack says, oh, I'm a get him good, talking about Indigo. The Nightwind says, it doesn't seem fair that medicinal herbs give back all your missing HP, but magical mystery juice only gives back a small amount of MP. It isn't fair. You know, you should talk to Jennifer Connelly about how to deal with it not being fair, because she has some very good perspective on whether or not it's fair and can probably help you out. Also talk to her about big double-ended dildos. Godthemod2 says, when you view the profile of a player you've ignored, can the bottom link change to remove from ignore list? Similarly, can that happen for friended people? Awesome new familiars, by the way. Well, thank you. Thank you. actually, that is not a bad idea, because that is the kind of thing that can be checked without having to hit the database. Let's see. Neon Gray says, I bet people would have less problems with the level 9 to 10 lull if you nerf the shit out of the drop rate of the scrolls in the valley. Yeah, hey, that's a good idea. Thanks, Neon Gray. Everybody, that's Neon Gray, N-E-O-N-G-R-E-Y. And once I nerf those scroll drops, you can tell him how you feel about it. Left says, Jick, why don't you just make the history of loathing kind of like what happened in Siddhartha, that all is one and everyone is just a continuous recycling of one soul, kinda. Whatever, hippie. Nama Duck says, no, I'm sorry, it's just Nama says, to the person who says, it's not fair, you say that so often. I wonder what your basis for comparison is. Because Nama is all about the David Bowie package. Yeah. Man, my voice is really going to shit here. I'm gonna talk for a while. I'm gonna play some songs for a while. I think I hate to start late and stop early. But yeah. Armax says the new monkey familiar looks like a walrus. This is cruel to the legions of devout loathers who are waiting for a werewalrus familiar. We demand satisfaction, but you can't get no satisfaction. Armac, you try, and you try, and you try, and you try, but you can't get no satisfaction. I'm pounding my mouse as though it was a gavel for emphysema. Severus also asked if the doppelshifter will change into the attention deficit demon and the symbol playing monkey, or will it just be the coffee pixie and the bitten? It'll be both, which is, you know, that's another way for people in the future to be able to see the coffee pixie, you know, and to think about the coffee pixie and to go for long walks on the beach with the coffee pixie and to make love to the coffee pixie on a bearskin rug in front of a fireplace with a bunch of broken glass from champagne glasses scattered all over it, and then accidentally roll over onto the broken glass and be all like, son of a bitch! With the coffee pixie. And then the coffee pixie could pick the broken glass out of the wounds in your back, and you know, yeah. So the doppelshifter will continue to turn into the coffee pixie, because that is very important. Dr. Van Mojo says, hey, Jick, how often does the Kingdom Code choose a new seed value for the random number generator, or is it a different sort of beast altogether? It picks one at the beginning of every script execution. Really?
Yeah, because there's a finite number of seconds in that
way. Oh, right, but, yeah.
It'd be better to pick it.
Xenophobe's given me some computer science bullshit. Like, I went to college, so I know stuff. You're not a real programmer. You don't use objects. I know. The guys at my old job used to tell me, like, one of the guys I worked with at one point in an argument we were having said, you only think that because you know next to nothing about programming. And, yeah, that guy still has a day job. I mean, you know, it's true. I'm not a great programmer, but a lot of the reason that things are done, quote-unquote, badly in this game is because, it the right way of doing it is not even close to the efficient way of doing it when your code is being run by a million hobos every day. Let's see. Toothless says, bullshit, you're just a white suburban punk hooked on crime. I am not. Kane the Great says, is the amount of whining about the RNG directly related to player bitchiness or just game developers' oversight on making a game that pleases everyone? You know, I forgot to make everybody happy. That sucks. I should put it on my to-do list. Make everyone happy. Please all the people, all of the time. Gorblack says, did Video Bug Bear kill your messenger's star? I think it would have been funnier if he had said, did Video Bug Bear kill the Radio Bug Bear? Wait, he did. Wait, because I was thinking that the name of the actual thing was Video Bug Bear, but it's not. It's Radio Bug Bear. So I'm sorry, Gorblax, that was clever. And I tried to... I'm sorry, Gorblax. Can you forgive me? Lex says, St. Sneaky Pete's Day is hard to celebrate in post-ascension loading. Would you consider making this stupor easier to obtain? I was hardcore with no liver. Green beer only hit 25. Yeah, I actually meant to do that. Society says, Jack, please stop blaming me for everything. Also, you are so great. I'm going to see if that account got created today. Yep, looks like it did. That's very clever. Wait a minute, maybe not. It's a level 2. Account created. Oh, weird. It's like a month and 4 days old. That's really strange that... Yeah. Morbank says, hey, Jack, have you figured out a mechanism for the currently unavailable Smurf to Smurf? I'm looking forward to it. Yes. We're working on it. Mezzle Squeak says, what is your relationship with Scully? We've been good friends for how many years? 11 years? 12 years? That's our relationship. And I think he also might be my son. Eminon176 says, hey, Jake, don't you think you should change the recipe for the full meat tank to better reflect today's fuel prices? It should take a dense meat stack to fuel your car. That's a good idea. Everyone, the one who suggested that was Emanon176. So if I do that, tell him how you feel about it. Mezzle Squeak says, eek! Is one's account safe from deletion even if one was given a Mr. A instead of getting one from donating? It should be. Not right away, but if you have a Mr. Accessory or Mr. Store item in your inventory or equipped at rollover, it will mark you no delete if you're not already marked no delete. Fat Bastard says, after changing a password, why does invalid password appear before everything said in chat? It's probably just a bug. Because it's using the password that's stored in your session to verify that you are the one submitting forms, rather than you know somebody posting a link in chat and you clicking it and it, say, causing a remote form submission to fire off and having you send them all your meat. So that's everything that you do requires validation against your password, like every action. Somebody made this really cool thing once, and I should tell this story. This guy made something that I felt was one of the cleverest things that anybody has ever done, just like, you know, hacksaw-wise in the game. They managed to set it up so that their profile, when you moused over what appeared to just be a blank spot on the page, it would load a page that did a remote form submission that would send that guy all your meat and then set your profile to do the same thing. So they actually wrote a virus that worked in the confines of the profile system, and we caught it when it had only spread to like 5 or 6 people, but it would have gone fucking everywhere, and all of the meat from, you know, basically anybody who was in chat that day and was looking at anybody's profiles would have been sent to that guy. I don't know if we... Did we ever talk to that guy? I don't think we did. I mean, I think I might have talked to him a little bit, but yeah, that was really cool. I like that story. And then there was that one time, there was that hacksaw that we tracked down and found out where he worked, and then Boozer Bear called him and scared him, and he confessed and told us how he did it. That was a dumb bug. But there were two instances, and they were both exactly the same bug in exactly the same code. There were two instances of KOL actually getting hacked in terms of somebody being able to log on as any account. And which is why I always say when somebody claims that somebody hacksawed them, like, no, they didn't. Why would somebody hacksaw you? Because all of the times when somebody has actually been able to, like, log in as anybody that they wanted, they logged in as me and Boozer Bear, and that was it. They logged in as Boozer Bear and started randomly sending his shit to different people and logged in as me and didn't realize, probably didn't find the tools that I had at my disposal. Jackal, I believe, did. Jack at 18, who figured out the first one. Yeah, but then this other guy, he was just some guy, and it was pretty cool. We figured out what his main account was, and he had used a Hotmail account to create his name that was his full name, first, middle, and last. So based on that and the IP address, which pointed what town he was in, we were able to track him down, and, yeah, Boozer Bear called him, and it was funny. My throat hurts, and so I think I'm going to... Well, let me see. I should play Helter Skelter. Oh, Thoughtstipated says Tub Girl doesn't work. I wonder if he's just tricking me into trying to load it by saying that Tub Girl is down. Like, oh, darn, Lemon Party is down. I'm gonna see if I can find some negative land here. I think I can. Going through the media directory on the network drive. Turn left at the porn. Negative land. Helter Stupid. View in details, because I don't remember which song should I play.
The first track and the second track?
The second... Yeah, but the second track is 18 minutes long. So why don't I play the first track?
It's very short.
The first track is like 5 minutes. 4 minutes. So I'm going to play a track from Negative Land, and then I'll leave you in the ever-capable and very soft, because he's kind of like a desk job kind of guy of Seltzer Duke. So we'll see you kids on Monday, me and Scully, and then I'll see you again on Thursday. All right, good night, everyone.
I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I'm trying to make some girl. Sock it to me, baby. Let's spend the night together, making love, light my fire, gimme what you got. Louder and faster, louder and faster. Louder and faster, louder and faster. Louder and faster, louder and faster. Louder and faster, louder and faster.
That
is 148
Gramlin.
Too late.
Till
it was too late.
Get over!
Psychopaths, murderers, werewolves, murdering, marauding maniacs. This marvelous week of murder begins when you're dead. A malicious tale about a maniac with a deadly eye for murder. All this begins Monday on Channel 7's 3:30 movie.
This is KPIX Eyewitness News Nightcast.
Good evening. Topping Nightcast, a possible link between murder and music.
Music performed by a rock group right here in the Bay Area.
Four members of a Midwestern family were murdered. The 16-year-old son is the prime suspect. Members of the experimental rock group Negative Land have been drawn into the case. And prosecutors won't even tell them for certain that their music, how their music might be involved. Hal Eisner has our report. Negative Land considers its music thought-provoking, even humorous. But the members of this East Bay musical group aren't a bit amused that one of their songs may be linked to a multiple murder case. The case involves 16-year-old David Brom, an A student from a very religious family. He's accused of killing his brother, sister, and parents with an axe. Attorneys say David and his parents frequently argued about religion and music, even on the night of the murders, when a Negative Land album may have sparked the last family dispute. And in particular, the song Christianity is Stupid may also have been involved.
Christianity is stupid.
it's hard to listen to the cut and not laugh. If you have any sense of humor at all, or whatever, it's hard not to see the humor in it, and that it would result in anything as serious as this, I think, is ridiculous.
They say federal authorities asked them to cancel a long-planned 17-city tour and eliminate live performances until the conclusion of the investigation. Negative Land's music is highly critical of the mass media, nuclear war, and handguns. The group thinks their music is humorous, but they don't find it a bit funny that one of their songs poking fun at religion may have sparked a dispute among the Brahms, triggering the murders.
Christianity is stupid.
Meanwhile, the members of Negative Land are hoping for a speedy conclusion to the Brahm case in Minnesota, and eventually a return to their live performances, and a career that after 9 years had finally taken some positive turns.
But a quick end to the bizarre murder case may be in doubt. Hal Eisner, Channel 5 Eyewitness News, Nightcast.
Kate?
The Trailside killer, David Carpenter, has now been convicted of 7 murders.